through 48. And I can tell you right now that there are some of you in here that need to hear this, and you're not going to like it very well. Because it's not what you want to hear today. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because I just preach whatever the Lord tells me to preach. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43 in the King James, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. A lot of people saying a lot of things. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If you're not reading in the King James, you can jot down in your notes Luke 6, 27 and 28. And that has the full version in the more modern translation. You'll find that there in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27 and 28 was missing from the King James. In your modern translations of Matthew, it can be found in Luke 6, 27 and 28. And the reason why you want to do this, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I want to just talk to you for a few moments today on this topic. Love your enemies. Everybody, love your enemies. And everybody else, love your enemies. And everybody that's asleep, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful today for this service and opportunity that we have to be together. We pray that we'll be able to adequately communicate your teaching here and apply it to the hearts of the people there that are struggling with some things, struggling with some people, struggling with some situations, struggling with some bitterness and resentment, that you can deliver us from that today by your great, powerful, unimaginable love. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. There are a lot of people saying a lot of things. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees at length here. And you'll hear him say that in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said. In verse 31, it hath been said. In the verse 38, you have heard that it hath been said. And Jesus is talking about how we have a way of rearranging the Bible. If we don't like what it says, we have a way of rearranging it. Well, the Bible says I have to love my enemies, but I don't have to like them. Right. That sounds biblical. And then another popular one is love the sinner. Hate the sin. And regardless of our intentions on saying these different types of things in the church, if we're not careful, they can lead us away from what the Bible says. And specifically what Jesus said. Especially in his sermon here on the Mount. And he is not talking about our friends. He's not just talking about our family. He's not just talking about our neighbors. Jesus talks about our enemies. And he said, this is what people are going around and saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. And what often happens is we take different pieces of scripture and we put them together to create ourselves a little neat theology. And actually what we usually wind up doing is sucking the power and the life out of the Word of God and living a weak and a bound up type of religion before God. In the book of Leviticus chapter 19, you'll find there what the Bible says in the law of Moses. And in chapter 19, verse 9, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, and neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord or the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. And in Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Neither shalt in any wise, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We need to be careful how we twist the theologies of the Bible. And the teachers of the law had said this. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. But they added a saying onto it, but you can hate your enemies. And Jesus said, you heard it said like that, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus goes on and he says, when I said that statement, when I gave that law to Moses on Mount Sinai, there was an implication, not that you can love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but that in addition to loving your neighbor, that you should also love your enemy. It's popular, isn't it? Easier said than done. Easier said than done. Jesus goes on in the scripture, says it's easy to love people that love you back. Anybody can do that. It's easy to love your neighbor when they bring you over cookies and brownies. It's easy to love your neighbor when you're sick and they mow the lawn for you. But when your neighbor then in turn later on, a different neighbor maybe comes and gets their big fat riding lawnmower and they blow all of their grass on your little lawn. It's easy to love your neighbor when they're loving you. Love your husbands, love your wife. It's easy to love your wife when your wife is doing what you want her to do. It's easy to love your wife when she's massaging your feet and cooking you breakfast in bed and fixing you wonderful meals throughout the week and telling you how big and strong you are and how much she trusts you and not criticizing what you do. It's easy to love your wife in those situations, but when your wife questions your ability, when she questions your skill and your talents and your sanity and begins to put you on the defensive, it's a whole different picture to put that love out there. Jesus is saying to the people, hey, anybody can love anybody that's loving me. But God calls us to be different than everybody else in the world that we live in. God calls us to not only love those that love us, which is kind of a no-brainer, but God also calls us to love those that do not love us in return. Scarcely for a righteous man, Jesus said, will one venture to die. But God commends His love and shows His great love towards us, that while we were sinners, while we were enemies of the cross, Jesus died for His enemies. And while He hung on the cross of Calvary, He prayed for His enemies. And He asked God to forgive them for their sins. This is what the Bible teaches us. Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. If your enemy is hungry and thirsty, feed them. In the book of Exodus 23, 4, and 5. If your enemy's ox wanders off and you see it, grab it and bring it back to his house. If you see your enemy and he has overloaded his donkey and it has collapsed under the burden, that you are not to walk by your neighbor and his burdened donkey, but you are to stop, help him unload the donkey, help him get the donkey up, and help him reload it. Why? And God says in the book of Leviticus 19, because I am the Lord. That'd make a good sermon, wouldn't it? Because I said so. He didn't say it would be easy. He didn't say that it would feel good. He said, do it because I said so. What the Bible teaches is, I love them, but I don't have to like them. And I realize that we can get into all sorts of semantics, and there are people on all sides of the aisle. Oh, we should be mean to people, and oh, we should love everybody, and oh, and the truth is that's right. We shouldn't be mean to people. The truth is that's right. We should love everybody. But what are they really saying is this: you should love everybody and don't judge what they're doing. And on the other side of the coin, you've got the people that, they're like the church in the book of Revelation. What was that? I believe chapter 2 in the book of Revelation, the first church. I call it the hateful church. To the church of Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, and said they are apostles that are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored, and hast not fainted. In verse 6 it says, they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and God said, I also hate those things. But he said, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. If we're not careful, we can use the sayings of the day, whether they originate in church or whether they originate in society, to twist what the Bible teaches. There is a time, there is a place for rebuke. There is a time, there is a place for reprimand and correction. There is a time and there is a place for all of those things. But what the Bible teaches is there is one overarching powerful principle that rules the world. There is one overarching powerful principle that never ceases to amaze or to fail. And that is when we love our neighbor and when we love our enemies, it is the solution to the problems that we are facing in our lives. I had a neighbor that he was an older man, and I don't think he was all there. And I remember when I lived on Laurel Street, we got out, and so we went, and me and my neighbor, one of my neighbors, now he wasn't a very nice guy, but I'm usually friends with everybody, and all of my older neighbors had to kind of initiate me into the community. And my one neighbor got mad at me because I was blowing my grass on his lawn. And so I learned the lesson as a young 20-some-odd-year-old man, newly married, no children yet, and not to blow grass on your neighbor's lawn. They don't like that. And then another neighbor, he had a chainsaw, and the ditch was all grown up, and he wanted me to help him cut it down. So we went out there, and we cut the chainsaw down. He had lots of great advice. He told me, he said, I'll tell you why me and my wife have been married so many years. He said, I'm a truck driver. And he said, if I was home every day, he said, we would have been divorced a long time ago. He was full of advice. And anyway, he got me into this, keeping the ditch mowed down. And it was accumulating ducks and duck nests and ducklings. And it was accumulating a 3-foot long water moccasins and other things. So cut it all down, clear it all out, keep it clear, and keep the kids safe, etc. And make room for a little muskrat or whatever. Anyway, I was out there on my neighbor's side of the ditch weeding it down. And he came out, and he was waving his hands, and he said, get off of my property. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to raise boo for you if you don't get off of my property. And I kind of looked at him for a minute, and I said, go ahead. Oh, and I reared up on me here and kept on weeding his ditch. I didn't, you know, city property anyway, that belonged to me or him. And the city wasn't taking care of it. If they take care of it, I was going to spray a bunch of weed killers and get my water supply here to drink it tomorrow. But anyway, so I mowed his grass. I mean, weeded that area, and he never came out again. But then sometime he came out months later, maybe the next season, and I was out there doing what I do, being a good neighbor, weeding that ditch down. And he came out, and I thought, oh boy, here we go again. And he came out and he said, I just want to thank you for weeding my ditch, the ditch for me. And he said, I'd like to pay you some money for it. And, you know, and I was kind of ready for a fight, you know. I was kind of ready for an argument. I didn't know what he was going to say this time. And so I was kind of torqued up, you know. You get when you think you're about to get into an argument or a fight, you get all torqued up. And I was all torqued up and decided to shut the weed eater off, and he wanted to pay. I said, don't worry about it. That's what neighbors are for. And I fired up my weed eater and went back to weeding the ditch. Why am I telling you that story? Love your enemies. Because it has more power than hating them. It has a greater impact than hating them. It has a greater impact than being bitter over them. When you're thinking, how can I show them love, as opposed to how can I get back at them, as opposed to, and you leave it in the hands of God to take care of the business. And God will take care of the business. You can make friends for life when you love people that hate you. You can make friends for life when people who are cursing you, you turn around to them and you bless them, and you say something nice in return to their wicked and evil words. It's easy to respond negatively. It's easy to take an eye out for the eye they took out for you. It's easy to do a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, and all of that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus teaches. Matter of fact, it says in the book of Romans, we owe something to our neighbor. We owe something to our fellow human being. Let me read it for you there. In the book of Romans, chapter number 13. This isn't what you were expecting me to preach today, was it? Chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. And this message may not be for you, because a lot of you are lovers, but there are a few of you in here today that are like me. I remember years ago somebody played a prank on me. And I had been baptized on somebody last Sunday, and I went back in the bathroom, took off all my clothes and underwear and everything. I know that's creepy. And laid all my stuff in there and come out here and baptize people. And then I went back into the bathroom after I was done and put all my clothes back on. And after church, I was greeting people. I And I thought to myself, what in the world? Somebody had soaked my underwear. Hallelujah. And I found out who it was. And the Lord is such a good God that I was down here at the church praying. And this person, for some reason, had an event, and they had put all their clothes that they were going to wear to this event in the back, and they were going to use the church as a little, a little segue to come here, change, a little changing room. And it was all shoes, socks, shirt, pants. And I saw those shoes sitting there. And I'm walking back and forth in the church praying, Lord, I love you. You're such a good God. Lord, give revival to the church. And the thoughts were going through my head, yes, this is the will of God. It's a sign from heaven. This needs to be done. And of course, thank God I was praying. And so I walked by those shoes many times that morning, but I did not touch the shoes or the clothes. Why? Because the Bible says, love your enemy. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Oh, but it would have been so fulfilling. But there is a danger for people like me that if we take apart, if we dip into the well of vengeance, it gets us into trouble and it eats away at our spirits. I remember several years ago when I pulled up into the house in the evening in October. It was dark. Nobody was there, not a light on the place. And I pulled up in the driveway, opened up the garage door, and I got out, and there was a big bag of toilet paper, and there was containers of dish detergent soap all there in the driveway. And I thought to myself, I caught somebody in the act. And I thought, so I grabbed all the stuff and walked into the garage and closed the door. And then the thought came to me, don't turn the lights on. They might come back and think you're gone. And so I waited in the house, and sure enough, they came back, and you could hear them talk. Well, it looks like we're gone, you know. Oh, I took all their stuff, and the kids had painted pumpkins. Now, the kids had painted pumpkins, and they were sitting on the front porch. Well, since I had taken their toilet paper and their dishwashing liquid, they took the kids' pumpkins, smashed them on the ground, and stomped on them with their boots. And I'm out the window watching. So I said, well, why didn't you go out there and say something? Because I have a devilish, devious, vengeful mind. And I began to have visions of Cairo syrup poured all over somebody's windshield and poured all over their tires. And I envisioned what it would be like for them to get up and jump in their car and get ready to come to church. Yeah, church people. And oh, wouldn't that be great with the rocks getting stuck in there and hitting all over their car and chipping it up. That'll teach them, Brother Cal, to mess with the pastor's kids' pumpkins. And then, yes, I had to pray through that, and I had to get over that, and I had to let the vengeance go, let the revenge go, let the bitterness go, let the anger go, let all of that deviousness go, because the Bible says, love your enemy. In Romans 13, 8, 9, and 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The opportunities that we have for revenge are endless. The opportunities that we have to be offended, to be angry, are endless. But that is a dead end pattern of thinking and feeling and experiencing the world. To let it go, which is another word for forgive, to let it go and to be nice to that person, even though they were mean towards you, is the commandment that Jesus gave the church. The book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and showeth up his bowels of compassion, from how dwelleth the love of God? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There is a danger for the Christian believer to vacillate, like sitting on a seesaw. One minute we're happy with people and we're getting along with them, and the next minute we're angry with people and we're not getting along with them. One minute this person said that, another minute that person said that. I'll tell you something. If you live by the law of love, there will come a place in your life, if you work at it hard enough, that thoughts of revenge. I was visiting with my cousin, and a wonderful young woman. Well, she's older than I am, but still, we're all young, right? And we talked to her and other people, and I said, you know, I have to be careful. I said, sometimes when I get around people that tell dirty jokes, I don't understand their joke. How many of you can say that last time somebody told a dirty joke, you didn't get it? Why? Because you have spent so much time thinking godly thoughts and walking with God, and you just, those things go over your head. Get to a place in your life where when people talk about carnality and sin, it goes over your head because you are so in love with Jesus and so in love with the human race that you don't get it. There are times and places where people are being spiteful and hateful. And this time right now, we see people. I have friends on Facebook and they desperately hate Hillary Clinton. And they're always posting mean things. And people saying, I wish she would die. And you see all of this ferocious behavior. And you wonder when the last time was they read the Sermon on the Mount, where it says in Matthew chapter 5, love your enemy. That when was the last time that in our prayer closets we put Hillary Clinton at the top of our prayer list? When was the last time in the prayer closet we put Barack Obama at the top of our prayer list? When was the last time that in our prayer closets we put this group or that group in the top of our prayer list, instead of barraging them ferociously with hateful things, of saying things and talking bad about them? In James chapter 3, verse 10, he said that blessing and cursing are coming out of the same mouth. He said, with the same mouth we bless God who created us, and with the same mouth we curse humanity whom God created. And we make a distinction between the one who created and the thing he created. James said, this ought not to be. And I've got friends on my Facebook page. They hate Donald Trump. They absolutely hate everything that he stands for. And they say horrible things about him. And on the list goes. And then I've got friends that hate them both and refuse to vote for either one of them. And it just goes on and on. But our society is just filled with this filth that comes out of our mouths and saying things and doing things. And it just, recriminations and accusations. And those are things that spew out of the devil's mouth. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies. And the truth is, for the most part, that most of us don't know a whole lot of anything about Donald Trump, and we don't know a whole lot of anything about Hillary Clinton. And the truth is that both of them are probably just caught up in a powerful demonic system. We need to hold them all up in prayer. We need to hold this whole country up in prayer. We need to hold up all of our political leaders, and on the list goes in prayer. Because the devil is working to destroy the good that God is doing through the church in the United States of America. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to love our enemies. We need to do good towards them. And we need to say and pray for them in ways that will help, that God can move in their lives and help them. I'm not preaching some easy believism today. I'm telling you, there are people in my life that I don't have anything to do with. There are people in my life that I won't have anything to do with. Why? Because they chose to not want to have anything to do with me. Because I'm vindictive too. You don't want to have anything to do with me, bless God. I don't have anything to do with you. You block me on Facebook, bless God. I'm going to tell you a secret. You block me on Facebook, I will block you too. And when you get over your little steam puff, I'll never unblock you ever again. You'll be blocked forever. Because I don't play them games. Somebody said hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell me you ain't got no enemies. Tell me you ain't got nobody on your block list. I got some. There's people on my block list. They blocked me first. I blocked them back. You don't have to see none of the junk they post. Ever. Anywhere. But I guarantee you this. If I see those people on the side of the road broken down with a flat tire, I guarantee you this, I will pull off on the side of the road and I will help them fix their flat tire. I will buy them a new flat tire if that's what it takes. I will love on them and I will talk to them like they are a human being. Why? Because God loved me and my sin. What? Should you? No, the Bible doesn't teach that. That I should just, you got somebody that keeps committing the same sorts of sins and errors against you and offending you. You're somewhat, you need to read the Bible. The Bible says, if my brother sins against me and he repents 70 times 7 in a day, then I forgive him 70 times 7. You want to get off my own block list, you come to me and you ask for forgiveness and I'll take you off my block list. And we'll start afresh and anew. That's a very plain biblical teaching. But even though I may have people that I don't have, there are people that I have asked to leave this church because they were causing trouble and they were causing problems and it was spreading across the congregation. A very rare thing. But I have done it and I have disconnected myself from people who are dangerous and damaging, because it's my job to protect and to keep the house of God safe and the people of God safe. But I guarantee you this, if I see that person out hurting and down and out and in a situation, I will not drive by them, but I will stop and I will help them. Why? Because I want to be like my Father who is in heaven. And the Bible, Jesus said this. He said, your Father in heaven causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. If God our Father puts a blessing on sinners, then we are to follow his example and do the same. There are some things that God does not withhold from the sinner in this earth. And he allows them to have children. He allows them to have families. He allows them to prosper on their jobs. Why? Because our God is a God of mercy and love. And he does not withhold those things from them because he is a God of love. And we as believers, as followers in Christ, we need to understand where the lines are drawn up, and there needs to come a place and a time in our life God will challenge us. And there are people that are bound by Satan and that are living in horrific situations. We had a neighbor He's not our neighbor anymore. He's divorced from his wife now. Had, I believe, a quintuple bypass. Chain smoker, chain cusser. And his daughter got mad at my son. My son. You know, my son is like my wife. They never do anything wrong. He's the only reason you can ever get mad at them is because they never do anything wrong. If you ever want to get mad at them, that's what you get mad at them for. My son, you know, and he was just fuming. Come over here, talk to me like a man, you know. I tell you, Brother Philip, there wasn't nothing more than I'd like to have done than to go over there and talk to him like a man. And I prayed for him and for the situation, and the Lord told me not to go over there, so I did. I let it go. And sometime later, my wonderful daughter, she's always been a roamer, a wanderer, and so she's out of the house. We don't know where she's at, and she's been known to show up in 40-degree weather in the neighbor's sandboxes full of water naked. And have pictures of her mom spanking her and her crying and laughing and Stacy laughing all the way. And of course, you know where my daughter roamed to, right? She roamed into that neighbor's yard. And of course, she was small, so I had to go get her to protect her and bring her in. I went over there, so there was the neighbor. And what's the first thing he said? Well, you never came over and talked to me about the situation. Blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. And I said, well, that's the reason why I never came over. Because I said, I don't see what it would profit me to bring my son over and to listen to the way that you run your mouth and curse. And then he's like, well, I'll put a fence up around my yard. I said, well, I don't have any fence in my yard. He wanted to get into an argument. He wanted to fight with me. But instead, I prayed for him. And when he was cursing me, instead, I blessed him. I did. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to cuss back at you. You can put a fence up, but I'm not going to put a fence up. What does that mean? You can come over anytime you want to. The next time I saw him out in the community, he had both of my ears talking them off. And later on, he had a quintuple bypass and just lived in a horrible situation. And he had said things because his daughter had actually come to our church and been filled with the Spirit. He had said things. And I hope one day that the things that he said to the Lord can turn it around. But what am I saying? We have to love our enemies because that's what God does. He loves the just and the unjust the same. Pours out his rain on them and his sun rises in their lives. And forgive me for telling these little personal anecdotes today, and I hope my family forgives me for dragging them into it. I don't try not to do that very often. But it's funny the things that what the situations we get into, but we do get angry, don't we? Let's all stand together today. I said we do get angry, don't we? Wants you to love that knucklehead. God wants you to love that nosy, busybody backbiter. God wants you to love that wicked, evil neighbor or co-worker. God wants you to love that person in your family that you don't care if you ever see them again. To speak good towards them, to pray for them, and to do them good. And I will tell you, some of the problems that we have in our lives and some of the situations that we are in are caused because we're not being obedient to the Word of God. if we would do what the Bible simply teaches us to do. I can't love that person, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit that is given to me. If you think you're going to love that enemy, God expected it in the Old Testament. He expects it in the New Testament. But now He's given us the power of His Spirit, and His love is literally spread all over our heart. And something rises up inside of a believer. A Spirit-filled believer experiences the power of God. Brother Philip had testified about it before. That old flesh creeps up quick, and you want to say things and do things against things that you see going on in the world. But the power of God's love is so much stronger and so much more effective. You want to be a soul winner? You want to win somebody to Jesus? How about your enemy? How about that person that offended you and did you wrong? Why not show them some love? Show them the love of God and see how it transforms. You want God to convict a sinner? The Bible says that when you feed those enemies that are hungry and you give them a cold of cool water when they're thirsty, the Bible says you'll heap coals of fire on their heads, that they'll become convicted of their bad attitude and the way they have treated you, and their hearts will open up to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ because you love them when nobody else cared. Because you, instead of smacking them back upside the head, you turn the cheek and you show them the love of God, and by treating them like a human being, instead of calling them a name, instead of making them something less than the human being that God created them, instead of evaluating their soul as though it were just a piece of dirt, but you look upon their soul and you said, this is why Jesus died, and you, against all your human instincts, loved that person. When you had every opportunity and every right to do the exact opposite and watch the miracle of the power of God's love. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray. I know the Lord has already spoken to you and applied His word to your hearts.